The message today from Beijing to Washington, it is on. China says it's raising tariffs on $60 billion worth of U.S. exports to China in retaliation for President Trump raising tariffs on Chinese exports to the U.S. last Friday. Beijing's response today covers thousands of items, from American beer and swimsuits to frozen fruit and stuffed pasta. For some perspective on this trade war, we reached out to Susan Thornton, a former Assistant Secretary of State for Asia-Pacific Affairs.
I'm on a plane right now waiting to go to Shanghai, and it's chock-a-block full. So apparently a lot of other people haven't gotten the word that globalization is being rolled back.
A lot of questions for Susan Thornton. The World's Jason Margolis also joined us. He's been covering the U.S.-China trade dispute for the past year. My first question for Thornton. Susan, we've been hearing a lot about how the tariffs are hurting U.S. businesses and consumers. We want to know what effect the tariffs are having on Chinese consumers.
Well, I think, Marco, the tariffs are having an effect on the Chinese economy and on Chinese consumers. But I think the issue is that in the negotiations, the Chinese have not seen a way clear to how they're going to get out of future imposition of more U.S. tariffs. So they're making the calculation right now that they would rather stop and hold and see if they can clarify what the deal is going to mean about future tariffs for them. And they calculate, I think, that they can hold out, you know, and weather the damage to their economy a bit better than the U.S. can.
Hi, Susan. Jason Margolis here. Is it possible to quantify or measure who is feeling more pain at this point? If there's a scoreboard type of situation, is the U.S. winning or China winning, or is that too hard to estimate?
Jason, I think that the trade war is now turning into a sort of a political war of attrition. And I have to say, I mean, the scoreboard on who's paying more might be pretty hard to quantify. But I think given the difference in our political systems, it is going to be easier for the Chinese to weather the political storm than it is for, you know, the U.S. administration. If things start to heat up and people start to be feeling real pain, I think we know that, you know, farmers have been feeling pain. I'm from Maine, where lobster fishermen have already lost their China market to Canada. So I think the longer this drags on, the political pain will be more intense on the U.S. side probably than it will be for Xi Jinping.
Susan, you alluded a moment ago to other tools or measures China could lean on to put pressure on the U.S. beyond tariffs. What were you thinking about?
Well, I think, you know, the Chinese have in the past shown that they can manufacture a kind of nationalist backlash. One of the best-selling products that the U.S. has in China is a lot of consumer goods produced, you know, by companies like Procter & Gamble and Dow and other things like that, very popular. And, you know, if we have a nationalist backlash against Chinese products, you know, there could be damage to those kinds of brands in China.
Susan, could they also do things like slowing down goods coming in at Chinese ports, creating bureaucratic red
tape?
Additional
customs inspections and things like that, very much.
Do you think that the Trump administration is coming in a bit saying, okay, we're going to apply tariffs and you can apply tariffs too, but maybe underestimating how much strength the Chinese have, willing to go beyond just using tariffs to fight this trade war?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, my position from the beginning of this trade war has been that the administration is underestimating the ability and willingness of the Chinese to absorb the pain that they're going to be trying to inflict, and that they're overestimating the leverage that comes from these tariffs.
So one of the first things President Trump did when he came into the White House was walk away from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which would have created a block of many nations to put additional pressure on China. If we were in the TPP today, would we be in the situation right now?
My view is that that would have been a really smart play, but of course we're not there at the moment.
So, Susan, going back to the earlier question I asked, I'm thinking of an analogy, almost like a boxing match. Are these two boxers just bloodying themselves up and causing pain for the other with no benefit at this point, or is there a benefit?
Yeah, I mean, my contention is that we could have gotten a pretty good deal out of the Chinese a long time ago by using a sort of a traditional diplomatic negotiating approach. I think we had leverage against China, and this kind of, you know, threatening, bullying, up and down, very public negotiation, dragging on, refusing to talk, then talking, it's really a lot of collateral damage for almost no benefit. If you did the cost-benefit analysis, we could have been where we are now without all this disruption to business on both sides. And I think it's just very unfortunate, the tactics that have been used.
So today, like, what kind of tolerance does China have to accept a deal politically? Like, if they sign a deal now, does it show weakness? And then what is the end game? Does this trade war go on for 2 more weeks or 2 decades?
Well, I think it's going to go on for at least 2 more weeks. Both sides have to go back now to their corners, if you use the analogy of the boxing match, and sort of recalibrate and see what's going to be next. I think, unfortunately, we're going to have to wait to see some of the fallout from the trade war develop a little bit more before maybe both sides get motivated to get back to the table. And I think that that's a very negative thing for U.S. economy, the Chinese economy, and probably the global economy.
Susan Thornton, former Assistant Secretary of State for Asia-Pacific Affairs, speaking with me and the world's Jason Margolis. Thank you very much, Susan.
Sure. Thank you.